The following is a home program on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 27, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 16th, 2009, in Melbourne, Australia.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 3, text number 27. Om Namo Bhagavat Te Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Prakrite kriyamanani,
gunai karmani sarvasha,
ahankara vidu, ahankara vimudhatma,
ahankara vimudhatma,
kathaham iti manyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Purport. Two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level, may appear to be working on the same platform. But there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently, and that is the symptom of his nescience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature, under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. This ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Rishikesha, or the master of the senses of the material body, for due to his long misuse of the senses in sense gratification, he is factually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. Vandeham Shri Guru. Shri Jata Bala Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam sajiva sadaitam zavadutam parijana saitam Krishna chaitanya deva Shri Radha
Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha.
So, this is the problem. This is the big problem. We want to take credit. You see, I am great. I have done this, I have done that. Instead of giving all credit to Krishna, we want to take credit for ourselves. They even want to deny God. They've gone, these rascals have become so demoniac. They want to deny God, you see. They have taken God's help to build this civilization. And now that they have the civilization built, they want to deny God and kick out God, you see. We use God to build the civilization. And once we build the civilization, then kick God away, you see. You know that story, Punar Musika Bhava? You know that story, Punar Musika Bhava? You know? There was one village in India. In that village, there was a little mouse living in a house that had a cat. And that little mouse, every time he came out of his mouse hole, he had a big problem because the cat was always trying to catch him and eat him. See? It was very difficult for him to eat because every time he came out to try to eat something, the cat would chase him back into the hole, you see. So one day when the cat was sound asleep, the mouse made a run for it down the street to the yogi's hut. He heard there was a powerful yogi in the village who could do magic, you see. So he went to the yogi and said, "Yogi, yogi, this cat is always bothering me. What can you do to help me?" He said, "Well, I can make you into a cat. Would you like that?" He said, "Yeah." Cat. Now he's a cat, you see. So now he's feeling very good. Now that cat will not bother me at all, you see. Now I can roam freely through the village and eat whatever I want, no problem. I can eat the mice even. But then one dog started chasing him up the tree. Oh. Finally the dog gave up and he went running back to the yogi. "Yogi, yogi, now the dog is after me. What to do?" He said, "Well, I can make you a dog. Would you like?" "Yes." Poof, you become a dog. See, now, no problem. The dogs won't bother me. The cats won't bother me. Now I can really enjoy. But then a Bengali tiger came lurking into the village. And running again to the yogi's hut. "Yogi, yogi, tiger in the village. Oh, what to do?" He said, "Well, I can make you tiger. Would you like that?" "Yes." "All right, tiger." Now he's a tiger, you see. Now the tiger, you see, he doesn't have to worry about cooking, you know, taking a knife and fork. He just pounces on the food and eats, you see. But there is one difficulty. Prabhupada explains, there's a little bird in the jungle. Whenever the tiger goes out for his meal, the little bird sounds an alarm. He goes chirping, chirping. Tiger is out on the... Tiger is on his lunch break. So all the animals, they head for the hills, you know. They head for the cave. Wherever they can, they go running as fast as they can. This little bird sounds the alarm. Tiger is out on his lunch break, you see. So this tiger, he can go for many days with a hungry belly, you see. Because every time he goes to eat, his meal runs away, you see, as fast as it can. But now the yogi, now he's sitting in this yogi's hut, and actually the tiger is by the door, you see. He's actually blocking the door. He's sitting there in the doorway. And he has a yogi who's captive right now in the hut. So that yogi is not very stupid. I mean, he's very observant, you see. He takes a look at the tiger, and the look in that tiger's eye, and he says, "So, you want to eat me?" The tiger says, yes. And he says, punar musica baba. Again, you become a mouse. So they have made this tiger-like civilization, you see, with their nuclear bombs and all their big, big technology, you know, their stealth missiles and all this powerful weaponry, you see. And now they want to deny God, you see. Kick out God. So, puna musica baba, again you become a mouse. You see. This whole civilization could just go evaporate, you see. It's struggling, actually, now, this modern civilization. It's artificial. It's based on I am the doer, I am great, as described in this verse, you see. It is only there because of past pious activities. If it was not for those past pious activities, this whole civilization would have been finished long, long ago, you see. But the good news is, if we inject Krishna consciousness, see, it is a crumbling society now. But if we inject Krishna consciousness, it can be cured. That's the good news. By this nice kirtan, you see. I travel all over the world. You are one of the best kirtan groups in the whole world, I'll tell you right now. Isn't it true, Manaji? We attend many, many kirtans. You are one of the best kirtan groups in the entire world. This program here. You're one of the best kirtan groups, most enthusiastic kirtan groups in the whole world.
Sophia also.
Huh?
Sophia also.
Sophia? Sophia is very good too? Yeah. Yes, Sophia is very good too. But the point is, by this kirtan, this enthusiastic kirtan, you're actually injecting medicine into the social body. The medicine of Krishna's mercy is being injected into the social body to save it. So it's a very nice service for you all. You strengthen your Krishna consciousness by this enthusiastic kirtan. And it's also doing the nicest service for the society in general. But the more this kirtan goes on, the pure mercy of Lord Chaitanya will inundate the society and help them to realize, I'm not the doer. I'm just a humble servant of God. It's by His grace that everything is going on. Not by, you know, it's not by the scientist's arrangement the sun rises in the morning. It's by God's arrangement, you see. What scientist is manufacturing anything in the factory? Is it eatable, you see? Can they manufacture food? No. Can you eat nuts and bolts? No. All these things, we're thinking that by making money I'm supporting myself. But can you eat money? When was the last time you took a stack of those Australian notes, cut them up with some salad dressing and ate them? You see? Yeah, you cannot eat money. What you're living on, what is sustaining your life, that is all given by God. It's not from the factories. It's not from the politicians. It's not from the bankers. It's all from God. The air, the food, the sunshine, the water, the earth. Everything you depend on for your existence, it's all given by God, you see. So how we can take credit and say, well, we are doing it, you see. Some little child growing up in New York City, he thought that food was being supplied by the grocery store. He had no idea how it was grown in the earth, you see. But that is his ignorance. That's all. Actually, it is all by the arrangement of God, Krishna, that we are getting our eatables. All necessities of life. Eko bahunam yovadadati kamam. All the necessities of life are given by that supreme, eternal, conscious being. So, instead of trying to defy the authority of the supreme, instead of trying to defy or to deny the Supreme, taking his position, thinking that through science we will solve all the problems of the world, through science we will achieve immortality, you see. And they are saying that. One scientist, he said, whatever you do, just make sure you live as long as possible, because very soon we will be able to make you immortal. You just got to live long enough until the scientific breakthroughs happen, you see. Make sure to take your vitamins. He said, make sure to take your vitamins and be careful and don't have an accident, you know, traffic accident or something. And then you very soon will be able to put some chips in your bloodstream. I forget what he said, but something. They'll be able to invent something that'll make you immortal. He was actually serious. Very soon we'll be able to, the scientists will be able to make us all immortal. You see? So foolish they are. They don't understand, they understand hardly anything about the laws of nature. They think that they can control the laws of nature. But actually we are under the stringent grip of the laws of nature. That's a fact. Have they ever been able to make a person so he can get young again? No, everybody's aging. Actually, in the Brahmins in the Treta Yuga, they could do that. They could take an old cow and give it a new calf's body, you see. They had that science, the Brahmins, by mantra. They could take an old cow, an old, sick, invalid cow, chant some mantras, put it into a sacrificial fire, and bring out the same soul with a young calf's body, you see. The Brahmins had that scientific technology to do that, by mantra. But these scientists, they're not so advanced like those Brahmins. They cannot take an old person and make him young. They cannot take someone and give them immortality. They're not able to do that. They can't even do it to them for themselves. What to speak of anyone else? So why we should believe these scientists? Trust no future, however pleasant. They say, well, just keep giving us millions and billions of dollars for our salaries and then we will give you immortality. You see? That's what, it's a scam. Actually, I had to, when I was preaching at in Norman, Oklahoma many years ago. My next-door neighbor, he was a physics major, and he was PhD level studies, you see. He told me, actually, when they submit their requests for government grants for their research work, he said they lied like anything. So many lies they put in their report, they submit. And the government, man, they don't know all the scientific jargon. For them, it's, you know, they use all these big, the scientists use all these big fancy words, the layman doesn't even know what they're talking about. So he admitted, yeah, they lie and they cheat to get the government grants. These are the so-called men who are leading the way into a new era of enlightenment through science. They're cheating just to get money. So why we should believe the cheaters who are ripping off the taxpayers, you see, so they can become rich? Why we should believe them, you see? Better we hear from these great saints. Better we hear from the Supreme Lord Himself and understand what is actually true and what is actually not true. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Prajakshavagamam Dam Yam Shushukam Kartam Abhyam. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. In other words, if you will practice Krishna consciousness, what will be the result? Sukham, happiness? No. Susukham, transcendental happiness, you see. Not ordinary mundane happiness, but you will achieve transcendental happiness, susukam, by Krishna consciousness. Transcendental happiness means it does not depend on any material situation. Mundane happiness depends on material situations, money, good health, good association, a good atmosphere, good climate, you know, so many things. But transcendental happiness depends on nothing material. It simply depends on having a loving relationship with that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence, who is all-powerful, all beautiful, all renounced, all knowledgeable, all wealthy, and all famous. You see? All you have to do is have a loving relationship with that person who is known by various names in various scriptures as Allah, Jehovah, and is especially known by the name of Krishna, because that is the best description of him, of his personality. The word Krishna describes him better than any other word. Therefore, that name is recommended in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. Lord Chaitanya said there are thousands and millions of names for God, and they are all potent and powerful. But which one did he chant? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, we chant him. We don't chant it because we're Hare Krishna people, no. That would be a cult. We chant it for a scientific reason, because it is the most powerful, effective mantra. We don't say it's the only mantra, but we focus on chanting it as our exclusive meditation, along with a few other supportive prayers, like Mancha Tattva Mantra, Nishringa Prayers, etc. We focus on chanting it because it is the most powerful means of effectively and quickly attaining the highest perfection of consciousness, which enables one to escape the cycle of birth and death and regain his original identity in the eternal pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental realm known as Goloka Vrindavan. Or, if you're a Vaikuntha Vasi and one of the Vaikuntha planets, Krishna consciousness will also take you there if that is your rasa, you see. Just like Murari Gupta, he tried to be Krishna Bhakta, he just couldn't do it, you know them? He couldn't handle it. He was in Lord Chaitanya's movement, and they were all Krishna devotees, but he just couldn't handle being... He felt more attraction to Ram. You know why? Because he was an incarnation of Hanuman. He tried to feel most attracted to Krishna, but he just kept being drawn towards Lord Ram. But still, he chanted Hare Krishna. He followed Lord Chaitanya's movement and became perfect in Ram consciousness. So even if your rasa is with a different form other than Krishna, still by this movement of Lord Chaitanya, you will attain that position. So this is the universal formula for everybody for going back to Godhead. No matter what your rasa is, no matter which form of God you're eternally related with in your sarup, it doesn't matter. This process of Hare Krishna chanting will take you to your original swarup, your original identity. So anyway, Mataji and I are very happy to be back with all of you wonderful devotees again. It's always a great happiness for us to come to these programs here at Bhakti Bhavan. Bhakta Bhavan. Yeah. And Bhakti, same thing. Wherever there is a Bhakta, there is Bhakti. So. Bhakta Bhavan is also Bhakti Bhavan. So we're very happy to be back here with Bhakta Bhavan, with all the Bhaktas, you see. The whole world now is a Bhakta, so now we have to, whatever Bhaktas are there, we have to make, our mission has to be turn the a Bhaktas into Bhaktas. We want the whole world to become Bhakta Bhavan. So this little building here should just expand its energy all over the whole universe and make the whole universe Bhakta Bhavan. You see. That would be the fulfillment of Lord Chaitanya's movement, you see. Make the whole universe Bhakta Bhavan. So any questions? Anyone have any question? Be happy to try to answer your question. Or do you already know everything? Everybody's happily situated in pure bhakti. No difficulties, no impediments.
I have to ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Question.
I have computed on one aspect of Ramayana and even Krishna consciousness. So
I'm hard of hearing, so speak up.
So meat eating is considered as bad, like meat eating illicit sex, then gambling, and then intoxication.
Yeah.
So one aspect, you know, like when I watch Ramayana or even I'm watching Krishna, so Vaibha was hunting animals allowed, even like Arjuna, or like a lot of people used to hunt animals.
Kshatriyas, they were allowed to hunt animals because what is the duty of the Kshatriya? The duty of Kshatriya is when an enemy comes, he has to kill him, you see? So, let's say you're a drum player, you know. But let's say you go for 5 years without playing the drum. You think your drum playing might get a little bit rusty, out of practice, you see? So, to be a really good drum player, every day you want to practice a little bit, you know, keep your skills current. So when there's a big kirtan, you're ready to really, really do a good job, you see. So the Kshatriya, sometimes there's peace, there's no war. So how's he going to keep his killing skills current? So therefore the Kshatriyas, they were allowed to go to the forest and to kill the wild animals that were harassing the sages, you see, and who were meditating in the forest. They help keep the forest peaceful place for the sages to meditate. It was not for sense gratification. They did that because they had to. They had to be very expert at killing. Very expert at killing. So that's how they practice. They kill the wild animals in the forest. And they were allowed to eat the meat also with the animals they killed, but not slaughterhouse meat. You see? So people want to use that as a justification for killing and eating meat. Then they can't have slaughterhouses, that's the first thing. They would have to personally kill whatever they eat. Slaughterhouses are condemned. They weren't allowed in those times. There was no slaughterhouses. Not that an innocent animal, a peaceful animal, is raised, is a so-called, in a so-called kind and loving way, and you cut his throat. That's very devious, cheating thing. Anything else? Questions? Yes.
Prabhu, even though now it's theoretically it's easy to understand that everything is done by Krishna, but when something good happens, it's very difficult to remember at that point. It's done by Krishna, but if something bad happens to me, we're straight away ready to blame on God and why God is doing this to me. So, but as time passes, then when you analyze, then we. The second question: so, how to remember Krishna in both the circumstances? And secondly,
that's why you have to hear regularly. You have to read Prabhupada's books regularly and hear classes regularly on this philosophy to help keep your head straight, keep yourself in, keep your vision. It's like if you have your glasses on, some people wear glasses without it, they can't see very well. So they have to keep their glasses on so they can always see things. So in the same way, you have to keep on your scriptural glasses by regularly hearing and reading this knowledge, you see. It's called Shastra Chaksus. You have to always be able to see through the eyes of the scripture. And that requires regular reading, regular hearing on a daily basis. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted every day we should study the Bhagavata. You see? Yeah. Next question.
Just leading on to that, if something, if I take some bad decisions, how do I know that I'm using my own free will and Krishna?
You made a bad decision?
Yeah. For example, eating outside or,
What outside?
Eating non-prasad.
Just like eating bhoga.
Oh, anything that you do right, you should give the credit to Krishna. Anything you do wrong, you should take the blame. Then you're properly situated. And we are meant by nature to purely serve God. That is our natural constitutional position. So that's the proper mood. If anything you do right, you should never take credit. You should give all credit to Krishna, all credit to Guru, etc. But anytime you mess up, then you should take the full blame on yourself. That's the if you do that, you'll be properly situated. Instead of trying to blame others when you do something wrong, take the blame on yourself. That's the safest position. It's always the safest position. Never take credit for what you do right, and always take full blame for whatever you do wrong. And then you'll be properly situated. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, according to one's rasa, eternal sarup, one is naturally, in one's pure state of consciousness, one will be naturally inclined to serve Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan, or one of his expanded forms in the Vaikuntha realm. By nature, by one's original spiritual nature, one will be inclined, naturally inclined to serve on Krishna Loka or on one of the other Vaikuntha planets. That's right. However, it is possible, as Prabhupada points out, to change that too. There's full freedom in the spiritual world. If you found yourself in a Vaikuntha planet, if you said, "I'd really rather be in Krishna Loka," you can switch. Prabhupada said that. That's not widely known. I heard it, Prabhupada say it on a tape. I know that where the quote is in the Veda base too. I told one sannyasi, he didn't believe it. He said, "Where's the evidence?" He barked at me. Couldn't believe it. The Prabhupada said it. There's full freedom in the spiritual world. One can actually change their rasa. So wherever you want to go, you can go. Wherever your heart takes you, you can go to that particular relationship with Krishna. As you like. As your heart is satisfied, you're fully free to go to that relationship. But don't try to jump to it now. Now, if you do, you'll become sahaja and you'll be stuck in the material world. You have to just become the sold-out servant of Krishna's pure devotee, the spiritual master. That's what you have to do right now. That'll qualify you. That'll be your ticket to enter the spiritual world. Don't try to gate-crash your way into Goloka. You got to buy the ticket. And that is complete surrender at the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. That's your ticket to Goloka. Next question.
Anger and envy.
Anger and envy, okay.
What defects do they show in our sadhana?
What defects do they show?
In our sadhana.
If you're getting angry, that means you think you're the